Good morning, New Eden. Today is October 7th, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I'm your host, Frozen Fallout, and today we have a very special guest. Guard from Wrong is with us here today. Thank you for joining the show, Wrong. How's space treating you these days?
Well, thank you for having me. Space has been treating me well, but at the same time, I haven't been treating it well. I've been losing a lot of hogs recently because of stupidity, basically, because of trying really hard to do something that I cannot do. But even then, I've been getting by. I've been making progress.
Awesome. So tell us, what's your full character's name, and what's the organization you fly for these days?
Well, my name in game is Gardnaldo Monpetit. It is a name that I have a love hate relationship with, because I made that name for my character like when I was 14, when I started playing the game, and I wanted something like, I don't know, European sounding or something, but completely made up. But now I kind of cringe at it a bit, but you know, people also from other places have a hard time pronouncing it, so they just call me Guard, like you just did. And the corporation I belong to is Wormhole Sterilization Crew, which is inside of a worm, as you mentioned. Right now, we're a corporation that is running in wormholes mostly. I mean, we're not very great in regards to what we're doing and as a corporation at the moment, so people can be in high stake doing whatever, or they can be, I don't know, doing whatever they want. But right now we're focusing more on wormholes.
Yeah, wormholes are an interesting aspect of EVE. I remember when they first came out, it was really crazy. We ended up, like, one of my buddies was scouting out all the different kind of wormholes in the beginning and being like, this is kind of cool, and found a POS that was completely powered down. And he just went in, blew up the ship holder or whatever. Ended up, that thing just spewed out a shit ton of ships, and he was like just screaming in corp chat back when we were part of Mostly Harmless, and the Infinite Improbability Incorporated. He just was screaming like, we gotta get people in here. I can't carry all of these things. Like, this is crazy. There's a shit ton of ships here. Yeah. Like, tons of battleships and stuff like that just came spewing out. And then, like, Corp got in, got all that stuff, and then the guy who owned the POS came in and was like, oh shit, like, these people are all here. He was screaming hackers, like, there's no way that you could know that the shield was going to go down at that time. And it's like, we didn't. We just stumbled across this. Blew him up, held his pod for a little while, then sent him to wherever his clone bay will regenerate his ass. So.
You made him a favor.
So take me in the Wayback Machine. How did you get involved in EVE Online in the first place, and like, what year was that?
Okay, so it was in 2014. So I was born in the year 1999, so I was 14 at the time. And the thing is that I've always dabbled in a lot of MMOs, but somehow, I don't remember exactly how, but I think I saw a video talking about EVE Online. And it was probably something talking about one of the world wars or something like that, or one of the big battles that broke records, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, like, a game like this exists? Like, there's a game, like an MMO, but based on space, and it has so much depth in terms of economy and where everything comes from. Like, you have to actually build and research and any ship that you want to use, and when it gets blown up, all what everyone knows about you, right? What makes it special, right? So,
right,
I got kind of obsessed with it because, I like games that have a lot of stuff that you can, like, you know, those games where you just get to know one and you're like, okay, I can spend like the whole afternoon just researching the wiki about this game in order to gain, like, I don't know, when you can dive into the rabbit hole, right? So I started playing it, but you know, I was 14, so I couldn't really afford the subscription long term. I played for a couple of months, and to be honest, I spent all of my time in high sec doing missions and mining and playing with some people, that I met through local chats, or people that have spam your email and stuff, and have fun at the end of the day.
Yep, that is the standard story usually for a lot of people is that they came in and did a bunch of mining, discovered mining sucked, learned about missions, started doing some missions, learned missions suck, and then either quit the game or came back or just moved on to 0.0, but a lot of them came back, went on to 0.0 or faction warfare, something that was a little bit more engaging. Although there is a lot of successful stories with industrialists and stuff like that, with like just living in high sec, and you can many years later after your entrepreneurial spirit says, "What profits can I be making in low sec or 0.0? Do you kind of need to move out there?" Because there's a lot of pleasure in just building ships, moving ships, selling ships, just chilling in high sec and being like a pure industrialist, and then the you can have 3 or 4, 10, 20 alts that it can be mining in high sec, relatively safe, depending on a lot of circumstances. But so you ended up stopping at that point. When did you end up picking it back up?
Well, I played about, a couple of months, and whenever, probably around 2015, I stopped playing because what I mentioned, and I didn't get back to it until like 2019. And I think what happened is that I saw the Citadel cinematic trailer. I didn't know about permaban up until that point, and the concept of, oh, you can now have your own proper space stations instead of passes or something like that, and with the music, and I was like, man, this is the game that I have to play. Like, I gotta play it. So I bought my subscription. I went into the game, and instantly I was like, okay, I gotta join a corp. Like, doing missions was fun, but I gotta take part into the important stuff that happens in the game with players and the corporation stuff. And I joined the Hawks, I think they're called, like the Hawks Collective. Like, I don't really remember even what they did at the time, but the experience, to be honest, was kind of like, oh yeah, you have to join this website. You have to log in with your character, and you have this many enormous lists of skills they have to learn. I mean, they were very strict with what you needed to do, like with what you need to train to in order to run with their doctrines and stuff. But the experience was mostly join teams, say, hey, I have a level this skill. Okay, you get this badge. Okay, now get this one. Now that get was this one. Now I'll get this one constantly, and I was just logging in, doing missions just the same as before, training skills that I know even what I was gonna use them for, and I ended up quitting the game back again like a couple months later because I also got a job that made me quite busy, so I just kind of stopped playing. I mean, slowly because I didn't have any motivations
Yeah,
to actually
same
play.
kind of stuff, except for you had a little bit more organization, a little bit more community maybe that you could get involved with, but it sounds like you kind of had a repeat experience of what you had, back when you were younger.
Yeah, so in any of those two times, I didn't really go re deep into any of the core aspects of it. I played it just like, that's the thing, I played it more like you would play any other MMO. Like, I was used to games like World of Warcraft or something like that. I mean, games where you run missions and dungeons and you level up, and it's not so centered, at least in my experience, into the community, or you don't rely as much on it as in Eve, right?
Oh, I would agree with that 100%.
And that's the thing. I was playing it with the wrong mindset, but a couple of years later, I started playing some games that kind of reminded me of Eve. In some ways, I started playing some other MMOs, and I was thinking like, man, Eve was actually a really good game. I should go back to it sometime. I just gotta give it some time and actually think it through how to actually, like actually commit to the game. Like, because I have, I mean, I don't know to what extent this may influence this, but I have ADHD, and that makes it sometimes hard to commit to a game because maybe you played like nonstop for 2 weeks straight, but then you don't touch it again for like a couple years.
Yep, I do that a lot.
Oh, well, then you understand me. And this time I was like, no, I wanna 100% commit to it. Like I wanna see it through. Like if I don't like it at the end of the day, like I'll be like, okay, at least I tried. But I wanna commit to it, right? And I like that ass didn't touch any other games for like a year and a half. Like I commit like, no, I'm not gonna play any other games even if I really feel like it, because I wanna commit 100% to EVE Online and not go to the next thing that that I see that attracts me. And then that's when I started joining corporations that actually gave me content that I could look forward to, you know, like content that you only get in EVE, kind of, you know.
Yeah, it's like when you're in Vegas, do things you can only do in Vegas. You know, when you're in
Yeah.
another country, do things that you can only do in that country. Like that,
Exactly.
go hit up the true sites and stuff like that. Find the local like niches and stuff like that. And Wormholes is a super niche, like super powerful. From what I understand, like you can make an ass load of money doing Wormhole stuff. There's a lot of logistics that are kind of involved, but I believe that a lot of that's handled more on a corp level, right? Instead of individuals can kind of use the corporation to take care of a lot of the logistical issues and stuff like that. Is that correct?
I mean, I think it depends, because if you're looking at groups like the groups that operate on the SysXs, like the big wormhole groups, I'm pretty sure they must handle that in that way, because it will make things so much easier. Also, when you have the amount of manpower to actually manage logistics for the whole corp in a centralized manner. But in our case, it's more of an individual level. Like, of course, having like the core mates helps, because maybe you can run a BST and a BST would really help in certain situations, or maybe you have to move I don't know, certain amount of ships that use up a lot of space, and you don't have any freighters or any time to actually move it manually very slowly. So it depends, but in our case, it's mostly on an individual level, because the thing is, you try to, at least in my experience with my core mates, you try to be as self-sufficient in the whole as possible. Like, if you can manufacture what you use and you only need to make trips outside of the wormhole into hives and stuff to sell loot and possibly low volume, high value loot, you save a lot on the logistics.
So is there a lot of like you need to have alts at this at the level of a wormhole that you live in? What's the like the lifestyle that you kind of live with and what's the primary hole that you try and do your activities in?
Well,
I mean, not the
alts
name
are,
of it, of course.
yeah, no problem. Actually having alts helps a lot. I mean, it's not strictly necessary, but even having an alpha account to kind of see the hole. I mean, that's the thing. When you're in the wormholes, it's very different from when you're in K space, because from the get-go, K space is like kind of like having a house which doesn't have a key. Anyone can get in, anyone can get out, but you can also get in and get out whenever you want. I mean, there's the possibility of gate cams, but still, the gates are there and they're not going nowhere. But when you're in wormholes, depending on the depth, as you mentioned, for example, we're in C4, so we have a static two C2s and C5s, and that gives us like kind of a lot of maneuverability, as far as, I mean, and I'm not an expert in wormholes, to be honest, but C2s and C5s usually have good connections, so you don't have any problem going to high sec. But still, you can get locked out of the hole at any time. Maybe you go out and a corp mate rolls a hole you just went out of and locks you out, so you can be locked out of your hole. So it's always good to have alts there. Like, I have like four alts or something like that in my hole, just in case, you know. I mean, I could maybe lose all of them if we get someone ties to Victus or something like that, you know.
Right,
Which
no,
is really helpful.
absolutely. That's definitely makes a lot of sense. Especially the idea, because it kind of reminds me a little bit of like being a low sec pirate or being in faction warfare, is that you don't need an alt to go out and do stuff with you. I mean, it helps. It can be helpful to have, especially with the new 5-man sites and stuff. You can get 5 times the LP, if you have 5 characters that you're using in that. Also, it's safer. You can engage, a little bit higher, and you can swarm people in faction warfare, so there's a lot of that kind of stuff. But really, the one thing that you need is a hauler alt, and you can even have it on the same character, the same Omega, sorry, the same Omega subscription, but different character. So you only need one account in order to really pull it off, but you really need that in order to get around high sec, not have to worry about war decks, not have to worry about war targets. Like, I see so many people getting blown up in Dodixie, Jidda, all over high sec, and I'm like, what were you doing in high sec? It's almost become compulsory that I want to make everybody, a pirate, just so that you can't. You're not, no, you're just not allowed to go there. You're gonna be like me and Gwen, and we're gonna be a pirate group that doesn't allow its members to go to high sec, because that's a dangerous place. Like, that's where you're gonna die.
Yeah, like you gotta track the security status of your members, and it cannot be below -9.
Right, yeah, exactly. No paying off the cops, man. You get a badge at -10, and you should keep it. And if it goes down, you got to fix that. Because we do shoot rats every once in a while. Sometimes you just have to, right? On the gate, and you're just part of the fleet that shoots him, and you're like, damn it. I got some security status. But yeah, the idea of having extra characters, but you would say like the PvE profile, is that another area where it really helps to have alts, or can you really easily just kind of go around and do solo activities?
I mean, I've been doing like I just recently got my second Omega account, like just a couple of weeks ago, and the alts I have, I only use for specific purposes, like for when I have to scan my way back into the hole, or my industry alt, because I mean it's very beneficial to have an alt dedicated to industry. So in the PvE aspect of that, the only way I think it helps. Is if you want to have a scout, just to say, to have an eye on the hole back home, or maybe with some pros, maybe an alt that has maybe nudes or ECM to kind of make you be able to warp away or something like that. It works as a safeguard, or you can also, if you're running, for example, C3 sites in a Tango, you can just get two servers in two accounts at the same time, and you can run the site even faster. Or stuff like that, and cheaper, more or less. Well, not cheaper, but more or less the same price, at least in my experience. I mean, if you know how to multi-box, which I'm kind of having trouble with, to be honest, don't look at my kill board, please. But yeah, it helps. But definitely, I've been running this kind of PvE content solo for more or less a year, intermittently, but no problem at all. Definitely helps though.
Yeah, no, that's kind of cool though, because yeah, I've always seen wormholes as being like a group activity. Even besides like the scouting and stuff like that, I've maybe done a little bit, but it always seems like I would want to be with like a group of friends, get like 2 or 3 lodgy behind me, and get like 4 people in DPS ships, and now you've got like a good wormhole ratting crew that you can go around and take on actual other small gang fleets as well. So I've done only a little bit of digging into wormholes, but that's cool that you can do the solo life out, and especially you're talking about like C2s, I bet are really good for solo activity.
And C3 is even. I mean, C3 is the, I think it's the point where you don't have to spend that much money on a ship or need that many skills, and where it's kind of easy for you to do it solo, because in C4 you have to get into bigger ships. But that's the thing, you can do it solo, but when you get friends with you, it not only makes it way safer or way easier, because you log in and the entire wormhole team has been scanned by your friends, which have been there before. Makes it a lot easier, makes it saves a lot of time. But when you get with I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 friends, you get in a couple burgers, you go C5 ratting, and you make loads of money. I mean, at least to my standard, you know what I mean? I'm not one of those if trillionaires that farm with capitals or something like that, but you know, I mean, with friends, you can really do some group stuff that may lend you a lot of money.
Yeah, I've heard about the capital escalation stuff that you can do. And have you tried any of like the drifter ratting and stuff like that? I don't know, because
I
it's
mean, I'm not sure if it's the same that you're referring to, but if I recall correctly, when we were running C5 writing in Burgers, we did one of those sites that at the end has a drifter battleship,
Yeah.
and we had,
Does that it has
and
the nuke on it, right?
I think so. I think so. I mean, it has been a long time, but I think so. I mean, because I remember when the drifter battleship came, we all had to really focus and be kind of worried that we may lose our ships. If I recall correctly, like we were never lost any, like we never lost a ship to rats, but still, it was
It's a
pretty funny.
possibility. Yeah, that's have you checked out any of like the new Turner or not Turner but the Deathless system?
I've been meaning to, but I don't know. I feel like I'm so centered in kind of making money right now because I've been spending a lot of money into, you know, getting stuff to my house. Well, I feel like I really want to go there, but I don't feel like I have the money or time in game to do it. And also, I want to kind of see how it plays. From a distance
Kind of, yeah.
before going there,
Let other
because
people play test for you.
yeah, because when I mean you went to FanFest too, you saw that some of the aspects regarding how the pirate incursions will affect high sec, well, Empire space in general, hasn't been really decided or confirmed how they
Right.
will interact with, for example, incursions with Triglavian invasions, with lots of other stuff, and I don't want to mess up any standings or anything like that before. I mean, I want to see the full extent of the I don't know the effects of what you can do there to your character.
Yeah, get the first couple of months to get feedback. Now, you were talking about wanting to make money though, and I think that first couple of months is where you can, possibly pull out hundreds of trillions of dollars, or ISK out of this activity, because I mean, there's the new Angel Titan. We don't know what it's going to cost in the LP store in order to get that blueprint, but I feel like there's going to be like a lot of people that, myself included, I think, where I'm going to make it my life goal to have that as my ship. I'm gonna have I figure out a way to find out where I can store it and where I can just have that, because it just looks so epic, and it just would be like one of the ultimate trophies to have a faction Titan, and possibly be able to do it through doing pirate activities. Like, that's it sounds kind of interesting, but it also sounds like it's a lot of group PvE activity from what I'm seeing. Like, there's a lot of PvP that you need to do in order to like not, because the people are going to come and try and stop you from doing what you're doing. But it sounds like it's a more intense PvE experience from what I've been seeing than what we currently have in Faction Warfare. And I mean, in Faction Warfare, PvE is kind of seen as like the like a nuisance to the to you comparatively to the dangers of PvP, because like you go into a Plex and it's like, okay, so this thing has HP, so I need to have bring some firepower in order to bring down the NPC in a Plex. So a frigate, you need a good decent frigate to actually be able to kill it. You can't just come in with 25 DPS and be able to kill the thing. But in general, though, it's only putting out like 2 DPS. It's like ridiculous. Like, it's not actually doing any damage to you, which is great, because that's not the point of faction warfare. But it sounds like this kind of activity that they're setting up for a lot of stuff that I was seen presented at FanFest. They didn't show us what any of the sites looked like or anything like that, but you know, they talked about needing multiple people for multiple of the event sites that you would have to be doing. And so that sounds much more like you're gonna need something. They do say that like the battlefield is a 30 person, you know, thing, and but you can do it with like three, two. You could probably solo, you know, long if with a long enough amount of time and no PvP activity, you could solo a battlefield pretty easily, actually. But the I'm wondering, so is it going to be PvE activities that are really light and are really easy to accomplish, and you can still have like, I mean, the 5-man Plex isn't any harder than any other Plex. You don't need five people to complete it. So I'm wondering if this faction warfare for the pirates is going to have the same kind of concept. PvE is just a you know, an action that you can that takes you out into outer space, and you don't really have to worry about being fit or PvP PvE oriented. You can have your whole fleet be set up for PvP because that's what's going to stop you from completing the site, not the site itself. And I kind of hope for that because that's what makes kind of faction warfare really great as the PvE activity is that it's not an intense PvE activity. And you can focus on PvP while still doing a lot of PvE activities.
Yeah, because I mean, if you have to deal with like just mentally dealing with the threat of players, the threat of NPCs, and managing your other ship's modules and manual piloting, like it can be overwhelming. I mean, imagine, for example, in any combat situation where you're doing high-end PvE, where you actually have to think about how you're flying your ship and how you're tanking, or you might die, for example, high tier vessel or something like that. Imagine that you get a player thrown into that. It will be super hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not ideal. I mean, we already get a lot of content on if that for some reason is really hard compared to what you get for it. I mean, you have to invest really a lot into some ships in order to make missions or other PvE content that doesn't. I mean, you'll pay for it in like 40 runs or something like that.
Right. Also, Vegas, thank you so much for the follow. That's super awesome of you. But yeah, so tell me, how did you end up going to FanFest?
Well, back like a year ago, I saw that in the wrong Discord, some of the followers there mentioned that they were planning on going to FanFest and they were just checking if enough people would go. And eventually, like 8 or 9 people were going, and I was like, I mean, that's it. I get a chance to see these guys I've been fighting with for like 2 years. I mean, I'll be able to see him in person and also go to FanFest, which I've always wondered like how it is. But I wasn't sure, you know, because I didn't know how much it would cost. I was looking at it for like from a year ahead. But at the end of the day, I decided to, you know, save up for it, and I asked them if there was any room on the Airbnb, which we were gonna get. But as a lot of people wasn't able to come. At the end of the day, we were just 4 people in the Airbnb, which was next to the. Do you remember the pub crawl? Did you go there?
Oh yeah, I
Like,
was at the pub crawl.
okay. Well, I didn't go because the tickets were sold out by the time I got my tickets. But the last club that the pub crawl, you know, ended at, the one with the big dance floor, our Airbnb was like just on the other side of the street, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The people that came from Rome with me, I really interacted with, I mean, one of them before. I mean, I've interacted with all of them, but the one that I spoke mostly was Q, one guy from you know from the States. But it was nice to get to know all the other ones because. Oh no, when you're in a community like a corporation in it, the relation you have with people is kind of interesting, you know, because the roles you have in the corporation, I don't know, you don't know how to expect how someone is gonna be in real life, you know, after playing with them in it, but they were really, really nice people, really nice people.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun hanging out with I had brought both my co-host, well, I didn't bring them. They came as well, and we all me and one of my co-hosts Samson ended up staying at an Airbnb that was right across the street from the convention center.
Sure.
So that was convenient for Saturday and Friday, but it was Thursday, I believe, that was at the CCP headquarters, so we had to go downtown and, you know, it was found out that those scooters are the best way to get around in that town.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to like get from the convention center to downtown, like just take a scooter. It's like, you know, just hop, skip, and a jump over, where it's a decent walk if you just want to walk it. But yeah, the nice thing about you know, kind of having Eve with court mates, I feel like, is that you get like a very special bonding
Yeah.
experience that you'll never get anywhere else. Have you ever been to any other conventions, or, you know, have you done any kind of like super nerdy, you know, like Comic Con or any of those kind of
Oh,
things?
I mean, yeah, I've gone to the. I mean, I'm from Barcelona, Spain, and we have a really big manga convention every year. I mean, it's the biggest in the country, and I've gone there since I was like maybe 8 or 9, you know,
Okay, so you've got
because, you
some
know,
con experience behind you then.
yeah, and that's the thing, I didn't know how to expect. I mean, I've never gone to any Eve related con. This was my first Eve meetup.
Okay.
And
Wow,
I didn't know what.
that's an epic Eve meetup to like it's
Yeah.
like this is the ultimate Eve meetup.
Yeah, I mean, 23rd anniversary. Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to expect because, I mean, it's a convention about not games or any specific like wide topic, but just a whole convention with how much people were they? Like a couple thousand people, maybe? I don't really know, but it seemed like a lot of people, like
It was
just
a
for
lot,
a single
definitely.
game. Yeah. It was a blast.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. I really liked the fact that it was the super niche, because you could walk up to anybody and be like, "Who do you fly for?" And like, you know, just spark up a conversation with pretty much anybody. You could walk into any, if there was a circle of people talking to each other, you could just walk right up and just join the conversation, because, you know, you know, everybody wanted to talk Eve. Everybody was talking Eve. And it was a blast. Like, I mean, it was an experience that my wife and I go to Gen Con every year, which is one of, you know, it's like 100,000 nerds that gather in
Oh,
Indianapolis.
awesome.
And they've got an array of, you know, all different types of role-playing games, board games, Magic the Gathering,
Nice.
and, you know,
Oh, that's
video
cool.
games, like everything, you know, arcades, stuff like that. Like, they go all out. You can pretty much do and find almost anything. It's one of my greatest shopping experiences that I have. I've also run games and stuff for it, and I love Gen Con. Like, I love, love, love Gen Con. I look forward to it every year. Eve Fan Fest was better than Gen Con. Now, my
Really?
wife, who plays a little bit of Eve, she's got a character, she's Omega, she's, you know, like been out there, she's done PvP, she's done PvE, she's messed around with stuff, and every once in a while she'll come out with us on our Wednesday night fleets, or when I'm like, "Come on, honey, let's go murder somebody." And so usually we're just you know, she's very, very casual of a player, not very much of a socialite either. Like, she's, you know, would prefer to kind of stay home and relax. Rather, or when you go out with, like, to the parties, like, you kind of just stick with your group kind of thing. She doesn't want to be, we have a dog. Like, when she's walking the dog, she's like, "I don't want anybody to fucking come up to me and say, 'That's a cute, beautiful dog.' I just want to walk my dog." And, So, but she even said that this was better than Gen Con because it was so easy to just talk to people and talk about a very specific topic that you know enough about that you can like get what's going on and have like a good conversation with people. And that it was just, very focused. Like it just was like, so everything was Eve themed and everything that you went to, had like matter in what you're doing. Whereas Gen Con can be a little bit chaotic, where everybody's doing a different thing. They're like, I'm gonna go play this sword
Oh,
fighting match that's going on. I'm gonna go over and play, Magic the Gathering. I'm gonna go play some tabletop games. So like you get there as a group, and we usually go as like a group of like 10 people.
Oh.
But less these days, as like COVID and other just activities and other people's lives have kind of pulled away our gigantic super group that we had. But it would be very normal for those 10 people not to really see each other throughout most of the con, because at least besides the going out and partying at night. And the partying was hardcore at FanFest. Like
Oh yeah,
that
oh
was
yeah.
like 90, and that was another thing my wife I think really liked. Like, because I mean, we went out to the karaoke, and
Oh,
I
the
said,
character was amazing.
I was because I got high, I lost my jump freighter and Jitta because I got high. But yeah, so the overall, like I felt like, yeah, I was so impressed by it that I bought tickets for 2025, like the moment that I got home. And I was like, honey, should we go? And she was like, yeah, let's do it again. It's a year and a
Nice.
half away or whatever. So,
I'd love to be able to go to 2025, but I'll have to see in the future.
yeah, unfortunately, the early bird stuff is going really quickly, actually. So the longer you wait, the more it becomes a little bit more expensive. I mean, overall, it's an expensive trip, so not getting the super early bird special on it is not going to kill one's wallet usually if you're doing the whole trip. Or at least from the United States, it was like, $600 just to get for one person to get there and back again. Then that's not including Airbnb, stuff like that. But yeah. So was there any like super highlight that you had from FanFest?
Yeah, I think the biggest one was during one of the parties. I think it was actually at the end of the pub crawl. We were sitting. No, actually not. It was in the karaoke. Yeah, it was in the karaoke. We were sitting outside, just on the door of the place the cargo was hosted at, and we were smoking a couple of cigarettes and stuff. And a guy came up to us and he was like, "Hey, who are you guys playing with?" And we were like, "Oh, with Ron." We showed him the stickers, and he started laughing. And he just told us, "Oh, you remember Arcadio Sol, which is an FC for, I think it was Fireco at the time." That's the thing. When I joined Ron, we were at war with Fireco, and that lasted for months and months and months. I mean, it was non-stop. I mean, fighting with them because we were part of RMC, Red Menace Coalition. And I remember that name because our FC Bad Dodger had like a really big rivalry with him because each time they would shit talk on local and stuff, and we all watched it. And he mentioned the name, it was kind of like getting being a flashback, like, oh my god, I haven't heard that name for like 10 months, man, or something like that. I mean, it was crazy. And then he starts laughing and telling us how at each time that we were fighting each other, that we would form like fleets of hundreds of people, they always had like four or five spies in our Discord comms, listening to everything that we said, what we were planning and stuff, and we were staging, and they were feeding everything back to their channels, and they were laughing their ass off while listening to our comms and stuff. And at that point, I started, laughing my ass off, and I was like, "Mate, give me a hug. Like, come on. I mean, that's fucking crazy to
So
be able
much
to do this."
content that you guys have experienced together.
I mean, I will always remember that, man. I mean, that thing dragged on for so long, and it was, I don't know, I mean, some people complain about being on pinged for CTAs all the time when you're in NullSec and stuff. But honestly, I can enjoy it because I felt like I was so part of something kind of real. You know, we were actually fighting for our territory. I mean, we were actually, pulling everything we had to not be kicked out of our places and have our stations and stuff blown up. And it was fun. It was
Fighting
fun.
for your life is one of the things that like only Eve gives that experience these days.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even I used to play Ultima Online like way back in the day, so the kind of precursor to Eve Online. And so Ultima Online, there was like full loot drop and stuff like that, and you know, build your own shops, but you couldn't destroy somebody's house. So once somebody like laid a house down, like they had that house forever, like. You know, people built giant castles that were gigantic, and only they got to build, you know, giant castles because, like, you had to be, you know, you had to be one of the first early adopters in order to like get the that much land mass because everything is already taken up. Like everywhere that a house could be laid, a house has been laid on most of the servers by the time that I had gotten onto the game. And you had to go to the PvP land in order to like drop, you know, so you could drop a house. And it couldn't be destroyed, but that's where you could get murdered outside of your house. And they like separated the worlds. They used to have it together, but they separated. It was like PvP people go to PvP server. You know, you can jump between the two worlds with the same character, but in any case, like so you didn't need to like fight for your life. You know, there was like kind of that. You know, your loot would drop and that would suck. And you had wars and stuff like that with other people and a lot of like tournaments and stuff. But your house getting burned down, you know, was not something that you had to worry about. And Eve, you got to worry about that. Like, if you know, especially with the Citadel expansion, that's what people go after is burning down your house. But we have infinite real estate. You know, you can put down, you know, a Aster House anywhere in the game. Some places it's not a good idea to do that. Some places it's a great idea to have, you know, a say, you know, you can be a one person corp, and yes, those it can get blown up. It probably will get eventually blown up. You don't get a monument forever, but you do get a house, you know, that's fairly cheap, you know, comparative. I mean, it's not even it's like a half a month subscription to get a house, basically, if you wanted to do it that way. Like,
There's plenty of ships more expensive than some of the stations that you can put up.
yeah, way more expensive. Yeah, my Moros that I just bought is way more expensive than the Aster House that I put up. But yeah, so I definitely had the same kind of experience when I ran into Corvus, and I was like, we fucking hate each other, and I love you. Like, give me a hug, man. Like, yeah, it was great because we've been fighting on opposite ends of the war zone for a long time now. He streams, I stream. You know, we both put out our PvP's fleets out on the stream danger zone. You know, and try out going out and have fun. And really, it is all about just content and having fun for us. And I got him, you know, on the show after. FanFest, which was really great, and had some really great conversations with him at FanFest. I mean, we just kept on running into him because I smoke, so I go out and smoke cigarette, and then Corvus is out there, you know, puffing on his vape, and like, so it was just, you know, because it was after every panel or every, you know, main activity, we would go out to the smoking zone, and so like, I met up with a lot of smokers, you know, like we always form our own cliques in every bar and every. Actually, I ran into like a former developer that was not involved at all with anything that was happening at FanFest. He didn't know that there was a pub crawl going on, or even I don't even think he knew that FanFest was going on. And to like he didn't wasn't preparing for it, just he started seeing Eve people at bars and he was like, oh yeah, okay, it must be FanFest that must be going on.
It's hard to miss.
And so like I was out, just went out to the smoking area and just sat down, and like there was a couple people and they were like, what are you doing in Iceland? Like, obviously, like, you've got this beret on, you know, this weird space you know, jacket that you're wearing, like, what's. And he's like, you play Eve, right? You know, I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm a former dev, like, da 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 da. Like, was talking about the old days. Yeah, it was a blast. So yeah, just running into random people and being able to talk with anybody, but running into your rivals is really where it's at. Like, it's like, ah, like there was a lot of times that like people come up and be like, "I'm from Pam Fam," and I'm like, ah, because I have old connections back in the day. I used to be a goon and stuff like that, and I was an interstellar alcoholic conglomerate, and I was in, mostly harmless, like all of these. I hate fucking Bob. I fucking hate Bob. I will always forever hate Bob. And Bob just kind of morphed into Pandemic Legion, and then Pandemic Horde kind of spawned off of that, and this Renter Empire kind of idea. I'm not, a solidly for or anything like that, but in the end, I actually don't have any real beef with them, because I love it when they come to LoSAC in faction warfare, because those are just tasty treats to eat up, because it's usually not like the organized, all of Pam Fam coming down to go to faction warfare. It's just people being like, "I want to check this out. I'm going to join the Kaldari. Let's see what's going on. This will be just like 0.0." Nope, not at all. But yeah, it was always great to meet a nemesis though, and be able to shake their hand or give them a hug, and or have like long, deep conversations with them about Eve, the state of Eve. Was there any specific announcement that you were like, just jumping out of your seat about, or was this kind of a tame announcement spree that you got?
Well, let me preface it with I used to play Dust 514,
Okay,
so
yeah.
Vanguard got me literally jumping out of my seat. Like, I was like, it is happening, it's happening. Like we're getting a fucking Eve shooter. Like I'm partly excited for it because I used to play Dust 514, and I see that. I mean, there's references to it inside of the game. There's guns from it, and it's kind of the same concept of a shooter inside of Eve, and partly also because I don't know. Eve is such a deep universe in terms of lore, in terms of what can you do, in terms of I don't know, a lot of stuff. But you only get to see it through a certain perspective, which is piloting a ship, right? I mean, maybe to a lot of people that's not important, but I feel like getting to experience that universe in different forms gives it so much more depth or meaning or something like that. I think that being able to be stand like on foot inside of a crashed ship and being able to actually feel the scale of it and being able to see small things in a big universe, like just as one of the developers put it,
Yeah, no,
is
I
pretty great.
instead of playing a gigantic ship, you're playing a person. I mean, this is basically our walking in stations, right? Like, they scrapped walking in stations. It's not going to be your pod pilot. Your pod pilot and your Vanguard guy is going to be very two different characters. You can probably try and role play it, however anybody wants to role play, but according to the actual lore, this will be one character for Vanguard, one character for Eve, but you get both. You get, like, you don't need to sign up for Vanguard. You get it. Like, that's epic. That's a first, I feel, for any MMORPG. Like, maybe sign up for different kind of MMORPGs, and they might have like a mini game, or like a section that has like, but no, this is like a full on. Here's a first-person shooter for you to go experience stuff in, and I think that this is going to be a good replacement for walking in stations to a certain degree. I hope that they add some level of like being able to hang out and talk to the community, like a walking around area on like a space station, or give us walking in stations, like with this, just don't let people shoot each other. Maybe make it so that it's only like 32 a room or whatever, and you can, make private rooms and stuff like that. But I don't see why this technology can't give us a little bit of walking in stations, but just for this game, we don't need to bring the pod pilot, but eventually bring the pod pilots over too. But that can be technology down the line. But I think with what they currently have, that would be kind of cool. But in any case, just the in general, what they announced was epic. Because okay, so PlayStation 2, well, like a great choice for the system. You know, we want to have one of the oldest graphics, but still has some cool stuff in it. You know, I was ready if they were going to say that it was a PlayStation exclusive this time. I was just gonna just walk out of the room and be like, all right, like you just done fucked up again, didn't you? But no, they did a really good job. It's PC. It's going to be completely built off of, I believe, the Unreal 5 like engine is what
No.
they built it off of. And they're not customized. They didn't go in and just like gut Unreal 5 and make it their own. They use the standard from what I hear, and that'll make it so it'll be a lot more easy to upgrade. It will be able to t stand the test of time. Because that was the problem with the old one, was that it didn't have, with Dust 514, you couldn't really upgrade it. Like, they had gutted everything with the Unreal Engine that they used, and they, like, had made it so specialized that it basically worked on the PlayStation 3, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
And then the PlayStation 4 came out, and it was just, like, headshot. Like, that was the end of that game. Nuon says, in Vanguard, will we be able to use names that are used in Eve? I hope not. We have a three name level kind of scheme, because what's gonna, my reason for saying that is because if you can, then it's going to, the first couple of days are going to be a bunch of us jumping on and trying to scramble to get our username that we have. And the more popular that you are, so thank God I'm not that popular, so I've probably ha and haven't made too many like super hated enemies, so I don't think anybody's gonna be jumping on. And I say that with people watching, and it's gonna be, of course, like, put this out there, and then you guys, I'll steal my name in Vanguard. But even if they do, though, either way, I don't think it's a big thing. My guess is no, though, because they're going to have to go into the same database to a certain degree. And so if you have it, be that it there's two Frozen Fallouts in EVE Online, whether it's Vanguard EVE Online or, you know, regular EVE Online, then there's confusion, and there's chances for people to scam the living hell out of each other, and steal, you know, really big important names out there and say, hey, I'm this guy. But yeah, so I'm super excited for this. The PvE PvP content, I want to see what more, because EVE, I'm super PvP, right? But first person shooters, I want some PvE so that I can go and like experience the game a little bit without like the hardcore nature of worrying about just players. Like, I like to kill things, and so when the players are just killing me, it's not that
Yeah, I
fun. Like,
mean, by what they showed in the announcement, it looks like it was mainly focused on PvP. Like PvP was part of it, but it wasn't the main focus of the Vanguard thingy.
yeah, so I'm hoping that that holds true. I hope that there's maybe a little bit of like pure PvE, like not something like 100% you know, safe or really good money to do it, but like just some stuff where if you just want to go and be really casual and really not, you just play the game but not probably make very much advancement in the game, you can go do some PvE activity, and then have the PvE PvP aspect of that to be really, you know, that's where the lucrative stuff is. That's where you want to go and actually participate in the actual game.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So yeah, we'll see though. I've signed up to the newsletter. I didn't see a way to sign up for the beta yet, but apparently if you're an Omega and possibly have the newsletter, you'll be in the beta or something like that, or possible to be in the beta. Or maybe that's where you'll hear about when the beta like sign up actually comes out. But from my understanding is having an Omega account will be required. So in order to participate in the beta and if in the game in general, you'll need an Omega account. And I believe it'll go both ways. So if you have a Vanguard Omega, you automatically have an EVE Online Omega. And if you have an EVE Online Omega, you automatically have a Vanguard Omega account. So And it'll be all one account, if I understand that correctly as well. So probably have the same launcher as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, from what I heard, the thing is that you would have a separate character in your same account. I mean, you would have the three EVE Online characters, regular EVE Online characters, and then you had a fourth, which would be for Vanguard, and they would be launched from the same launcher. As far as I know, from a friend that went to the Vanguard panel, you would also be able to run it standalone, so you wouldn't need to access it from EVE Online, but that's what I heard from a
Okay.
comment that went there.
So that makes sense though. Yep. Yeah, so is there anything else at FanFest that you want to talk about?
Well, the parting I want to mention. I didn't expect a group of MMO players, space MMO players, to party that hard, but I gotta say I think it's the week that I have slept the least and drank the most out of it. I didn't really expect that, but even then I was fine. I mean, it was kind of moderate, but yeah, I mean, it was kind of the experience. Also, the karaoke was amazing, was phenomenal. Like hearing all the people sing those songs together and seeing everyone with their stickers and, hey, my name is this, and with their corp stickers and stuff, there was a really good vibe. And also I remember singing Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, and I was singing my heart out. I mean, I really loved that song. I was like really feeling it at the moment, you know. And I remember like throughout FanFest, some people who gave me stickers or something like that gave me extra stuff, and told me like, yeah, I saw you singing that at the karaoke, you were great or something like that. Or, I mean, they were reminding me of it, and
Yeah, I was really
it was
excited
fun.
when that happened to me. People were like, "Man, that was epic!" Because I got high with an Eve theme at the end. That was awesome. The only thing was I was caught off guard because they like sped it up like twice as fast as what it normally is because it's a long song. Because he just basically just says, "Because I got high a whole shitload," and then tells you what happened after he got high. And so he does it like, "Because I got high, because I got high." Da, da 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 da, and like you know, it's just this like calm song, but it like all of a sudden on the screen it was like, "Cause I got high, cause I got high, cause I got high." It was like if you were to keep up with it, so I just like cut it down, tried to reorganize my brain, and throughout the entire song I was trying to do like I was gonna do you know cool Eve references, lost my jump freighter because I got high, you know, got scammed in Jitta because I got high, you know, left my ship behind because I got high, you know. Didn't do any mate or didn't pay the bills, you know, and lost my corporation because I got high, stuff like that. And at first I was just completely thrown off, and then I ended up like recovering towards the end and being like, okay, screw it, I'm just gonna ignore what's on the screen and just kind of go with the flow of, you know, a little bit of what, you know, use the screen as pointers for me as like what I'm gonna be talking about. And so that was really awesome to have people come up to me and be like, "Dude, that was epic!" Like it just random people, like it just you know. So that was super awesome. Yeah, the partying super hardcore. Like yeah, it was and unbelievably that like you said, I felt like I drank a whole shitload, but I never got like dizzy or puke or anything like that. Like I drank an insane amount. I didn't do any hard liquor or anything. I did a lot of cider, but cider fucks me up usually, like, because I can drink it like water.
I
And
mean,
so, like, then it's like, you know, like, kick my ass. But I didn't really have that, a little bit of a hangover, you know. Hair of the dog took care of it real quick and got back out. Drank a lot of water, you know, that helps, I guess, too. But yeah. Yeah, FanFest was epic. Definitely looking forward to going back and hopefully I can see you out there as well. So
I wish.
let's move on to is there anything any like passion project that you're currently working on? Anything that Wrong has, like a website or YouTube, or you guys putting out any kind of cool Twitch or YouTube content or any kind of content that you want to talk about? And or if you want to talk about, just any shout outs to court mates or anybody that you want to give a shout out to and have this head out to the back to space, I think so.
Well, we do have a YouTube channel, which I think has seen a bit of content recently, but it's nothing very, very big yet. I don't have the link right now, but I can probably get it for
I'll
you.
include it to the in the show notes for sure. So yeah, just shoot it over to me. I'll put it in the show notes.
Also, there's this Discordmate, LB LeBlanc. He streams on Twitch regularly, and he also is part of the Open Comms show, I think it's called. Yeah. Which is also a show on Eve.
Yeah, Open Comms I'm familiar with for sure. Yeah, good show. Yeah, so definitely just shoot that over to me as well, his Twitch, and just remind me of the open comms as well, and I'll include that.
And Wrong is not actively recruiting right now, but I mean, you can find us in game and I don't know, maybe we'll get some content together or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll keep in contact for sure. So yeah, definitely thank you for coming on. This has been awesome. And maybe, as things progress in your career, if you ever want to come back on and talk about what Wrong's up to, or if you get up to any special things that are going on in Eve, or anything you want to put out there, definitely hit us up, and be awesome to have you on again. This was super awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. It was pretty good, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're gonna go ahead and wrap things on up here. So if you want to get involved in faction warfare, go ahead and hit the Federation Frontline report up in game. Federation Frontline. That's Federation space front space line in game chat. I'll throw that stuff into the show notes as well. And definitely hit up Declarations of War. Podcast that is created by Noir Mercenary Organization, Leaders of the Network, also Leaders of the Alliance that I am part of for Federation Frontline Report. Oldest mercenary organization in Eve, I believe, at this point, and then also one of the oldest podcasts for Eve, if not the oldest podcast for Eve. You can pick up a lot of really cool information on Declarations of War, so definitely hit them on up. I believe Nightflyer is going to be on there. Hey, Nightflyer. Is going to be on the show this week, this weekend, I believe. But yeah, so definitely, we also have the Madison Madtown Eve or Madtown Meetup for Eve Online. Eve Madtown Meetup, that's it. It's going to be on May 4th, 2024. So if since we don't get a fan fest this year. Or next year in 2024, I'm throwing my own fan fest here in Madtown. We're gonna go to an arcade bar and go have fun. So yeah, Nightflyer said that. Yep, he is doing the show tomorrow with them. That's super awesome. So we'll get links in the show notes for all of that. Thank you all for watching. Thank you for coming on and doing this interview. It's been super awesome. And have a great night.
Continue. Thank you.